We've been in the study of spiritual gifts, and I've been saying for a while that there was going to be a spiritual gifts inventory on the internet, which there is now currently. And this is what I need you to do. It's going to help myself, it's going to help Pastor Greg, and it's going to help any other leader in this church. Go on the internet, go on islandbaptistchurch.org, go to the sermon heading where my sermons and other sermons, any sermon that's been preached from the pulpit here are, and on that sheet, on that page is a spiritual gifts inventory that you can take. And we're asking you please to take it. It gives you instructions. You download it, you fill it out, and then you email it back to us. And we need a record of your spiritual gifts inventory. It doesn't assign you to anything, it's for us. It's so that we can know where people are gifted. And so that when we ask people to do different things, we're going to the people that are gifted in those areas, and it helps us better manage the congregation. And we want you, even if you're not a member of Island Baptist Church, if you're a Winter Texan or a regular attender here, we want you to do that because you function more or less as a member. A lot of you here, especially Winter Texans, come in and just, you already got your jobs, you already know what you're supposed to do. You serve, work here, everything, give, just as if this was your home church. And you're here for 2, 3, sometimes 4 months out of the year, even more than that. And so, really, we need to know your spiritual gifts. Church membership and all that kind of stuff is just a matter of order. Whether you're a member of our church officially on the books is not a big issue. It's that you're serving here. And since you're serving here, we need to know where you stand on different gifts. And this inventory will help. Obviously, there's not an inventory in the New Testament. Neither do you find a New Testament writer saying, take the spiritual gifts inventory on our website ever. But this is just a tool to help. It doesn't guarantee that when you take this that you have these gifts. It just simply helps you see where your propensities, where your tendencies are, and help us even, as important as it is to you, it's even more important for us to know where you are so that as we manage people together as pastors, we can. It helps us do it. So I want to remind you of that. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we've been running through several gifts. We dealt with the gift of tongues this past Sunday, and the prior Sunday to that, we looked at some of the more spectacular gifts, in particular gift of faith, miracles, and healings. Let me remind you with regards to these, as I said, spectacular gifts, showy, might be considered showy gifts. I don't know what we would call them. We need to remember that the Bible classes them as support gifts. They are not the main thrust of biblical ministry, church ministry. Say it again. Healing, miracles, faith, these are spectacular gifts. They are not the main thrust of ministry. Neither were they the main thrust of ministry for the New Testament church in the book of Acts or anywhere else. Never, mark it carefully, will you find a person in the Bible who had a healing or a gift or a miracles ministry. Those things were always incidental to a biblical teaching or preaching ministry. It's the Word of God that changes lives. Again, if we heal you every Sunday and you miss a Sunday and get run over by a truck, of what good have we done to you? If you leave this life having been fed and clothed in miracles before your eyes and yet have no change in here when you stand before God, we have done you a total, we have committed an eternal error against your soul. It's a ministry of the Word of God that is the most powerful thing. I don't care what miracle you set in front of me. You part the Gulf of Mexico, for instance. Lead us to I would prefer to go to Cozumel. Let's part it all the way to Cozumel. Lead us to Cozumel. And I'm telling you, that is small potatoes as far as miracles go. Because I'll show you a bigger miracle, a miracle taking a person who is dead in their trespasses and sins, an enemy of God, and through the ministry of the Word, converting them to a person who's not only alive in Christ, but who is a friend and a child of God. That is an order of miracle that you cannot pull off with any other. You show me a miracle. You stop the sun over the valley here, and I'm telling you, it's not as big a miracle. It's small potatoes. The focus of the ministry of the biblical church, Jesus included, was the ministry of the Word. Jesus went everywhere, what? Preaching the good news of the kingdom. Incidental to his preaching was that he healed and did miracles. Incidental. So if I got a guy, as I said last time or a couple times ago, on television, or a gal, whose ministry is healing and miracles, and incidental to the healing and miracles they give you the gospel, what have I got? No, 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 no. I've got something rotten in Denmark. I got myself a rat. And again, not to, he can call me a rat too. That's fine. I don't mind. We'll be even when it's all over. I'm not speaking anything against his character. Maybe he doesn't know any different. Maybe he's doing the best that he knows to do. But I'm telling you, he's not doing right. He's not doing right. Because nowhere in the Scriptures does anyone have any sort of ministry. They always have a preaching the word ministry. Incidental is miracles and healings and other things. Make sure you keep the order correct. When you cease to have the order correct, you cease to have a New Testament ministry. Ceases. And something's rotten in Denmark, and you better know it. Something stinks, and your nose is not mistaken. Again, the greatest miracle is changing a person from an enemy of God to a child of God. That's the greatest miracle it is. It's only through communicating the word. Every one of you sitting here who have come to faith in Jesus Christ came to faith not because of a miracle. A miracle may have led you there. I won't say that. Not because of a healing, even though healing may have led you there, as it did in many cases in the Scriptures. These healings and miracles are always augmenting they always were a validating or a way of saying, listen, you need to listen to these guys if they speak. That's what the miracles and healing serve. That's their only purpose. But when these things took place, then the preaching ministry was exalted and people were saved. You're not saved through any miracle. You're not saved through any healing. You are saved through the miracle and the healing that comes from the Word of God as communicated to the Holy Spirit as you place your faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. That is the biggest miracle there is. There is no bigger. None whatsoever. And we're going to see, as again, these are support gifts, including miracles and healings. They fall under that heading. And we're going to see this morning, remember, support gifts are like the cement and the studs and the sheetrock that are in our building. They're not the things that you build the building for. You build the building for the furnishings and the paint that you're going to put in here and the nice fixtures. That's what you build a building for. The same was true with the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to communicate the word, whether it's to the congregation, that is the body of Christ, or to the lost world. The purpose of the church is to communicate the world. All other gifts, non-speaking gifts, serve as support to that. Among that support, as I said already, faith, miracles, healings, we're going to be looking at this morning at some more very prominent gifts, but you need to remember these are support gifts. They are not the point of the sword, if you will, of the ministry of God's Word is the point of that sword. The first gift I want to speak to you about, I've got to say that very clearly because these are going to sound like biggies. They're going to sound like speaking gifts, but I'm going to show you that they're not. First gift I want to speak to you about is the gift of apostleship. We find it in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. If you'll look with me down at verse 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And we're going to read about it in just a second, but let me define it for you. Very specifically, the gift of apostleship. Don't confuse it with the office of apostle. Not one and the same. Even though the office would be operating the gift doesn't necessarily mean the office. Okay, let's speak about the gift. The gift of apostleship is the supernatural ability to plant churches in pioneer areas. It's that simple. The supernatural, God-given ability to plant churches in places where God has never been heard of. You see this gift operated quite often in missionaries. Quite often the gift and the call of missionary, the call of missionary goes along with the gift, or the gift goes along with the call, however you care to look at it. You find this gift, as I said, listed here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at it, verse 28. And he says, and God appointed in the church first, notice it designates them first, second, and onward. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. Why the order? Because he's listening to you in the order that they came. The first gifts to operate were the gifts of apostleship. They were establishing a church in a totally, talk about pioneer area, there wasn't a single church on the planet. So they were totally pioneer in every way. Likewise, you don't find the apostles staying in Jerusalem very long, do you? Why? What do? They go out. Why? Because that's their call. That's their gift. Jerusalem ceased to be a pioneer field very quickly. And so then God sent them out. And they go. You find Paul, an apostle, going out to every place. In fact, his heart was to go to places always in which the gospel had never heard. He was not interested in going places behind somebody. It's not that he didn't like to be second fiddle. It's just that wasn't his call or gift. His call or gift was to be in a place where it was pioneer, and that's the gift of apostleship. Again, he held the gift and the office. We're going to delineate between the two in just a second. But notice here, you have these in this order. You have first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then on from there. Notice you've got a similar order, more or less, over here in Ephesians chapter 4. It says he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. It's interesting that the pastors and teachers are on the fourth rung of the ladder, isn't it? It's interesting. Why is that? Well, think about it. Just simple logic, you can figure it out. Pastors and teachers are for a flock. But if you don't have a flock, of what good are they? It's these pioneers' gifts, these, as I call them, if you will, apostle, prophet, evangelist gifts, these pioneering gifts that go in and establish a church. They take a church out of nothing and bring it into something through the ministry of the Word. Okay? Once you've got a church, then you're ready for a pastor or teacher. If you don't have a church, a pastor's a waste of your time. Got to have a pastor. You got to have a church before you can need a pastor or a teacher. Got to have something to a flock to shepherd, and a congregation to teach before you need pastors and teachers. And so it's in that order because of the order that it comes. Again, apostleship, again, is a service gift. It is not a speaking gift. Now, many apostles do speak, and oftentimes those who are sent out do speak. It also goes in conjunction with a speaking gift. But remember, it is a service. If we take it by itself, which is what we're doing, we take it by itself, it is a service gift. Many apostles and many who are called to apostleship today speak. Yes, they do. They're doing it with some other gift. Specifically speaking, apostleship is the ability to plant churches in pioneer areas, very simply put. Again, don't confuse the call with the gift. I'm sorry, don't confuse the office with the gift. You have the gift of apostleship, and you have the office of apostleship. The office of apostleship, as far as I can tell, was only held by 14 people, and it was only in the first century. It is a unique call, and that is a unique position within the church. And we say, well, the apostles aren't among us anymore, and I would disagree with that. Now, Paul and Peter and all those guys have been dead a long time, but what they wrote is alive, is it not? It's still here. You see, we still have the ministry of the apostles. We're reading from one of them today. It's still here. They don't have to be walking on the planet because their giftedness is still working. They were unique in that God used them to communicate His truth to them so that we could have the Scriptures today. So the gift of apostle, the position of apostle still works, the office. The gift, on the other hand, is still given today. God is he not calling out people to start churches in pioneer areas? And here's also what you need to know. You may have that call. You may feel a heart for people in pioneer areas. You say, well, I can't do it. I don't have the gift. Let me tell you something. If you have the call, you've got the gift. You've got it. Because the call comes with a gift. That's the way it works. When God calls you to do something, He gifts you to do that very thing. Well, I didn't know that. Well, now you do. If He's called you to do it, don't worry about the ability to do it. That's half the problem I have to speak to people. And they feel like God's called them to something, but I can't do that kind of stuff. Oh, yes, you can. Unless God made a mistake, which as far as I know, He never has. That when He calls somebody, He also gives with that call a gift. And by the way, the other is true. Take it from the other direction. What you've been gifted to do, you've also been called to do. I have a call. Well, then I can tell you you've got a gift. I have a gift, and I can tell you, listen, you've got a call. We're in that area. It's in the area of your gift. It's in the area of your gift. That's why it's so important to know what your gifts are, because that's your call. Now, it may not be that you need your... But let me tell you something. If He's called you to a foreign field, then He's gifted you to do that. Trust Him. Trust that He knows what He's doing, that He doesn't skip over stuff. He doesn't miss things. He's called you to do. He's gifted you to do. He's gifted you to do. He has called you to do. You can be sure of that. The office of apostle, again, don't confuse it with the gift of apostleship. The office of apostle was unique to the first century, whereas the gift is present in every century, in many cases, every church. Establishing churches in pioneer fields. Second gift that I want to speak to you about this morning, again, it is a structure gift. It is not a speaking gift. Let me say that plainly. The gift of pastoring. The gift of pastoring. We see it here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Otherwise known and maybe better known as the gift of shepherding. We don't know what the word pastor means unless you speak Spanish. I say so-and-so is pastor. Well, that they understand that. That sounds like shepherd to them. Pastor doesn't sound like shepherd to me in English, does it to you? It'd be better maybe if we called our guys in that position a shepherd, because that's what they do. And that's what you understand. To simple explanation of what a pastor or a shepherd does is, well, it doesn't need explanation. If you simply just run through your head, what does a shepherd do with literal sheep? What do they do? What their job is what a pastor does, what a pastor of a church does. The responsibility of a shepherd is to guide and protect. That's their job. Again, not a speaking gift. Not to say that the guy who holds the position of pastor doesn't have a speaking gift, but by itself is not a speaking gift. Here's the definition of it. The divine enabling to care for a flock of God, be it as large as a congregation or as small as a Sunday school class. The divine enabling to care for, to protect and guide a flock of God, be it as large as a congregation or as small as a Sunday school class, that is the gift of pastoring or the gift of shepherding. Again, as it was with the gift of apostleship, don't confuse the gift with the office of pastoring. They're not necessarily the same thing. In fact, many who had the gift of pastoring never hold the office of pastor. All right, you follow me? Be careful to keep the two separate. We're going to be looking at the office of pastoring in just a second. In fact, let's go ahead and do that. We think of, by the way, we think of the gift of pastoring as a speaking gift. And we say, well, because all our pastors speak. Well, maybe they do. But there's a ton of people out there with the gift of pastoring who don't have much, if any, speaking ability. They're not in an office of pastoring, okay? In this scripture, we assume, for instance, that a pastor speaks. The New Testament doesn't. In fact, Paul says when you call a person to a position, the office of pastor, you need to make sure that he speaks. Whereas if that was a speaking gift, then why would he say what he says? We're going to see that. But first of all, look. It says it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, that's the same. That's another way to describe that office, that position. Pastor, overseer, shepherd, they mean the same things. The office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. If it was a speaking gift, why would he say that? But it's not a speaking gift. If he's going to be in the office of pastoring, you need to make sure he has a speaking ability, because that's part of his job. He's capable of teaching. But strictly speaking, the gift of pastoring is not a speaking gift. Guide and protect. Guide and protect. The New Testament doesn't assume that that office or gift has the ability to speak whatsoever. In fact, it assumes it doesn't, and that we understand that. So now you understand it. Got to understand that. Got to see it that way. The office of pastoring and the gift of pastoring are two different things. The office of pastor, for instance, is gender specific. The office of pastor is only laid at the foot of men, according to the New Testament. There's not an exception to that. And I know that doesn't agree with what all of you think, and that's not my job to agree with you. My job is to tell you what the Word says, and that's what it says. And there ain't no wiggle room on it, and you may not like that, and guess what? Build a little bridge, and you climb over it, because I can't do anything about that. I didn't write this book, okay? Not my stuff. If you got a problem, don't come talk to me. Because your problem's not with me, it's with the New Testament, and the New Testament limits. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. The office of pastor is limited to men, but the gift of pastoring, listen, is not. The gift of pastoring is not gender-specific. It's given to all sexes, as far as I can tell. In fact, in my experience, some of the greatest examples of pastor and gift of pastoring have been in women that I've known. Very good at shepherding, guiding, protecting. Holy cow, I mean, women are very good at that, are they not? Many cases you see women very gifted in this area. Again, separate between the office and the gift. Just because you have the gift doesn't mean you're called to the office. In fact, if you're called, you better really make sure you're called to the office. Only crazy people would step into that willingly. Only smart people, I'm including me, I'm smart, right, have to be made to do it, because it's a whole lot of responsibility. The gift is your call, but it doesn't mean you have to take the office, okay? I have the gift of pastoring doesn't mean I have to be a pastor of a church. It does mean God has gifted me to pastor some form of flock. And that's what I need to be involved in, guiding and protecting a flock, a congregation, a grouping of God's people in whatever area I find it, because that's the places that God has gifted me. So I've got to make sure that I fall in that area with that gift. Be careful, again, to delineate between the office and the gift. Third gift and final gift that I want to speak to you about this morning is the gift of administration. If you'll look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, we see it listed here. We read it, but I'm going to go over it just real quickly again. And God appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, there you go, various kinds of tongues. This is, as I understand it, one and the same with what Paul calls over here in Romans the gift of leadership. Notice what it says here in Romans 12, verse 8. It says, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, that's a gift, the gift of exhortation. He who gives liberality, that's a gift of giving. Does it mean that we don't all give? In fact, it does mean we all give. It means some are especially gifted in this area. Doesn't mean we don't all exhort each other, but it does mean some are especially gifted in this area. And then he also says here, the third gift that he gives us, is he who leads. That is, he should lead with diligence. So there's a gift. There's a specific gift of leadership, and I see it, as I said, as one and the same with this gift of administration. That the definition of this gift, is simply put, is a supernatural ability to lead, organize, or otherwise direct the church toward her kingdom objectives. Lead, organize, or otherwise direct the church in kingdom objectives. So this morning I've been talking about nothing but support gifts. As I said, they are the structure gifts. They're the sheetrock, the cement, and the studs. They are not the upfront gifts. Now I say that to say this. We've been talking about, first of all, missionaries. Secondly, pastors. And third, we've been talking about some other staff person more than life. You think about the gift of leadership, what position is he going to hold in your church? Position of leadership. So we think of that, that's the upfront. No, he's a support for the upfront ministry, which is the delivering of God's word. I know I keep going over and over that again, but we have to hear it over and over again. The point of the sword is the ministry of the word, whether it's giving the word to God's people or whether it's giving a word to the lost world. No matter how you see it, no matter how it goes, the ministry of the word is the point of the sword. It's the thing that makes the difference. It's the thing that changes lives. Everything else is a service to that, including, if you will, the gift of administration, the supernatural ability to lead, organize, and otherwise direct God's church toward kingdom objectives. In conclusion, with regards to the ministry of the Word of God, remember what happened, the disciples, the early church was started. First sermon, 3,000 people are saved. Before they know it, they got 5,000 people in the church. By the time this incident comes up, we don't know how many thousands are in one congregation in Jerusalem. You have 12 disciples who are over this entire congregation. It's not near enough. Sure enough, because of the lack of leadership, because there's not enough proliferation of leadership, these Grecian widows start falling through the cracks. People are giving money and food to the church to distribute to people who don't have a means to take care of themselves. Widows would be a good example of that. And the Jewish widows who are actually hometown people in Jerusalem, people know who they are. They're well connected. They have good network. And so nobody overlooks them in the distribution of food. But these Grecian widows who are from Turkey or from somewhere else in the Middle East or from Africa or somewhere else that have come to Jerusalem because of the Word of God, nobody knows them. They're not connected. And so in the distribution of food, they're being overlooked. The disciples realize this is a problem, and so they sat down with the church and they established essentially what we call the office of deacon. And they establish this so that they'll take care of it. But do you remember what they said to the church? They're essentially, reading between the lines, they're essentially confronted with the issue, and the question is either we continue in what we're doing, or we continue what we're doing and we help take care of these widows. And so instead of taking care of the widows, they assign somebody to do that. But the answer to the question that they raised to them, as I said, reading between the lines, they give to us, and it's important that we hear what it says. They say this to the church: it is not desirable, speaking of themselves, the apostles, for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Why? Because that is the most important ministry. Not that widows shouldn't be taken care of, not that there aren't other things to be done, but because God had gifted them and called them that area, that is the most important ministry. Could they not heal? Those guys could have had an incredible healing ministry, made tons of money on TV, could they not? They could really blow and go. Didn't need to have any cahoots going on. They could really pull it off. They could do incredible miracles. They all did, as far as we can tell. But they didn't focus on any of that stuff. That was all incidental to a single ministry and call that God had on their life, and that's the ministry of the Word, the priority of the Word of God. Is it priority in your life? Does it hold high place? Did you read it this morning before you came to church? Oh, Pastor Bill's going to read it to us. No. See, when you become an adult, as far as I can tell, you learn to feed yourself, don't you? That's one of the marks of being an adult. If we are adults in Christ, then we need to learn to feed ourselves. The only thing we've got is this Word. It's the only thing, the only manna that's coming down out of heaven for us to feed on in this wilderness is this. And they could have gone out in the wilderness and fed themselves with sand and rocks and twigs, but it would have filled but not fed. The same is true with us, Christian. You're filling your life full of stuff, great, but it will fill you, but it won't feed you. Only the Word of God. There is no other program that God has for us to grow and become like Christ other than the Word of God. Does it hold that priority in your life? I pray that it does. I'm going to ask you if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me as we come to a conclusion of our time together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for the person, the many persons, Lord, that were responsible for bringing that Word to each one of us. I thank you for that man, Lord, who preached very clearly the gospel message in a little church in East Texas in which I heard the truth of Jesus clearly for the first time in my life. And because of your Word and because of your Holy Spirit, I was converted. I thank you for that. I thank you for each person, many people represented by the people sitting in this room who have served the Word, who have given it out. Lord, whether we are the ones who are the upfront people speaking it or the behind the scenes supporting it, God, I pray that you would just give us such a heart for the ministry of your Word, such a desire, God, to see it done, such a commitment of our assets and our resources and our time and our ability to see that Word go out. I pray, God, that you give us such a heart for your Word. I ask these things in Jesus' name.